Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, now also podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I am your co-host, Walter Duralia, today joined by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Hey, Chris.
Walter, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Chris. You?
I'm great. You know, it's how was your Easter?
It was excellent.
Good.
I found eggs and I found chocolate.
Oh, well, that's great. You know, was the Easter Bunny good to you?
It was. He was. Is it a he or a she?
Well, you know what? It's sure. Let's say it's a he.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I had a great time, and the Easter Bunny brought lots of booze.
Oh, well, you know, that's the best kind of Easter present, isn't it? Yeah. Because Jesus would have wanted that.
I feel better, Chris. Thanks.
Well, he did turn water into wine.
Water into wine, right? You know, the bunny turned chocolate into cognac for me.
All right. We do have a special guest here with us today. Mr. James Harris, collector extraordinaire, is in the studio. James, how are you?
I am super good, thanks.
Excellent. You know, James, you're making a repeat appearance on the show.
I thought I was trying to get away, but I couldn't do it.
Well, you're right. It's tough to get away. Speaking of get away, one of the things we can't get away is from our comic books. And Walter, what are we going to do about today? New release day.
Chris,
today.
That is a segue and a half.
Did you like that?
I really
that?
Like that. I did like that.
That's good.
Today, I'm going to highlight some new releases today. Pardon the voice. Comic culture fans, a little worse for the wear from the weekend, but we're going to get through this. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 34.
You know,
it's a standstill.
I can't believe that is still going. And of course, this is all
and strong.
This is all sanctioned by Joss Whedon and the whole Buffy estate. I'll call it, the whole franchise. And it's amazing that this is still going strong. And there's a lot of fan following out there.
This is season 8 still going, and they have signed season 9 in comic book form. They have already made the commitment to season 9 in comic book form.
Yeah, so
I believe after about issue number 40, season 8 ends, and then season 9 starts.
Well, you know, and I love the fact that they're writing these comics as if they're in seasons in line with the TV series,
which is great.
So they're saying that, you know, the TV series ended with season 7 or season 6 or
seven,
whatever.
Season
8 is now in comic book form. So it's still the same story, still the same continuation, but just now you have to read it rather than watch it.
I have to ask James, did you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer on TV when it was on?
To be honest, I didn't watch more than one or two episodes.
Right.
I just couldn't get into it. I started late. And I felt like I was always trying to catch up.
I understand. And probably you weren't going with a girl at the time, maybe, or something like that.
I was at all times super lonely. Thanks for coming down.
I only mentioned that because, you know, it's more female skewed, I think, the fan base was, anyway. All right. Speaking of skewed.
Yes. How was Easter again for you?
That's great.
That's good. That Easter comic.
Boys. Number 41. Now, that is a nasty comic, Boys.
Oh, yeah. That's the one written by Garth Ennis, right?
It's just nasty, and I really don't like it, but it's popular at the shop, so we get it in.
Well, you know, it does satisfy a certain niche out there. Garth Ennis is notorious for wanting to push the boundaries in the comic book form.
He's certainly doing it here.
And he did that with Preacher.
Yeah,
he's done that with Punisher and everything that he goes and writes.
He pushes
the boundaries, which, you know, God bless the guy, because a lot of people won't do those kind of things, and he has this sick and twisted mind that really you gotta love.
And you know, I think he keeps the Legal Comic Defense Fund busy too.
Probably does. He probably does.
Hey, over at Marvel Zombies 5. Part 1, number 1 of 5, 5-issue miniseries, the 5th Marvel Zombies miniseries coming up.
Well, you know what, and don't get me wrong, I do love the Marvel Zombies franchise. However, I think that it's being carried on a little bit too long.
Yeah,
I love seeing the zombified Spider-Man and Thor and Captain America with half of his head hanging out half the time.
Well, here's the problem with Marvel: Image is still doing great with
Walking Dead.
But Marvel doesn't have really a continuing zombie title, so they're they're going to the Marvel zombies repeatedly and stuff. And, you know what?
And that's probably becoming their continuing zombie title, except it's just done in
graphic like novel tidbits.
Graphic novel tidbits, miniseries format, right?
Yeah.
So.
All right. You know what? I forgot that these things still come out, and which is odd because we get them in every week at the shop. But, you know, the Jughead's Double Digest number 159 and Betty and Veronica Digest number 203 are coming out.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I haven't read a digest in a long time, but for the most part, these are just stories that have been retold in the regular series.
Yes.
And they're just sort of like they're rehashing. But now you get a double digest for like $1.50 or whatever it is now.
I honestly think they sell more of these at the supermarket.
Oh, for sure.
At the checkout. No, I know James. He picks up his at the Sobeys.
Okay, I gotta ask James. James, if you had to choose Betty or Veronica,
I'm strictly a Veronica man.
Oh,
the money is it the really? Money or the black hair?
The dark hair?
One, I would like all of her money.
Right.
Yeah, I like what Daddy brings to the table.
Yeah. Okay.
And secondly, I think Betty's hiding something. She's got this purity thing, and I don't think it's real. I think it's something she's putting on.
Oh, really?
I like this.
But you have a deep distrust for her.
But you see, that's why I like Betty, because maybe I want to find out what's going on. Right? I'm a Betty fan.
All right, boys, calm it down.
All right.
Get the fire hose out.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Batman and Robin number 11 comes out today. And the reason I mentioned that, I think I mentioned that every month it comes out. It is such a huge book.
Well, it really is. And yes, I will say that you do mention it every single month, you know, when it comes out. So that's all good.
Yeah.
So
Batman and Robin is good. And that, Chris... we're going to stop here because we do have a busy, busy week.
Okay. Sounds good.
We missed last week.
We did. Unfortunately, you know, I had some prior engagements and you had some prior engagements. We couldn't do the show. So.
I was available.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So anyways. No, James.
Thanks for coming out, James.
We do appreciate you being here, James. Honestly, it's always a treat when you stop by.
Yeah. All right, guys. I'm going to start, this is a bit old news, a week or so old, but did you guys know that, do you remember about a month ago, there was that Detective Comics number 27, the first appearance of Batman that sold for over a million dollars.
Yes.
It usurped Action Comics number 1.
Yes.
Which sold for $1 million, and then 3 days later, the Detective 27 sold for $1,075,000.
Yes.
They were both graded 8 out of 10 by the grading company. Last week, Action Comics number 1 graded 8.5, the best known copy graded, sold for $1,500,000.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy.
It is. $1,500,000. Now, the cool part about it is, Chris, I'm sure you know, I don't know if you know James, you're more in modern books, but there was a collection in the, probably in the 70s, the Mile High collection.
Yeah, Mile High.
Chuck Krasinski found it. There is the Action 1. From the Mile High, that is not graded.
Oh, really?
Some dentist or doctor or whatever in the Carolinas or Virginias owns that book.
Really?
And he owns 1 to 10. The Mile High copies are 1 to 10.
Holy cow.
And that's not graded. So.
Well, and we know that the Mile High collection is of pretty good condition.
Yeah, right? The people that have seen it claim it's a 9.2, 9.0, you know, whatever. So.
What's he waiting for?
Exactly. I think now, I mean. If he doesn't slab it now, I mean, obviously he doesn't need the money. But being a dentist, unless he's a wise...
But slab it now anyways. Get the hype going. This is
record-breaking. Yeah, this is the excitement, right?
Wow, that's crazy. You know, $1.5 million, that is a lot of money. I don't care what anybody
says.
That's
an 8.2.
And that's for an 8.5.
Pardon me.
It's a lot of money, especially in the comic book collector market. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money in any market, in the art market.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're talking... but the great Vince... Cerzano...
Marchesano?
No, from Comic Connect.
Vinny from Metropolis?
Metropolis,
yes.
I'm sorry. He says, he had a great quote on the news. He goes, you know, today's people that
Carbonaro.
Not Carbonaro. Cerzizzo.
No, what's it?
Carbonaro has the show for
Right.
Vince
sorry,
from Metropolis.
Yeah, twice. Yeah, okay, sorry.
Okay, anyway, Vince from Metropolis, from Comic Connect, interviewed about the book because they sold the book. And he basically says that, hey, guys in their 40s now that are independently wealthy, early 50s, they don't want a Picasso.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
Like, that's old money. That's, you know, that's a fad that was popular with the older generation. Well, this guy wants the best comic book ever,
yeah.
You know.
And you know what's funny is that, and you and I, Walt, have talked about things that we would often buy mm-hmm. if we had the chance. And we've often talked about, you know, buying original pinup artwork and things like that.
Yeah.
That's the kind of things that, like, no longer do we don't care about Picasso's and those
exactly,
kind of things.
Yeah.
I'd rather get an Elfgren.
A Gil Elfgren, yeah, you're right.
Or right. A Vargas or something like
yeah,
that, right?
You're right.
So, you know,
right.
So every generation seems to have a bit of a thing that they're interested in. And
we are in a submarine.
Yeah.
Dive.
Thank you, James, for turning off your cell phone. Appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes.
Anything for you, fellas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, what's next?
Anyway, so, I mean, that's great news. I think it's great news for the comic collecting, because that's obviously, you know, all the business news, BBC business picked
oh,
it up.
Oh, it's huge.
Everybody
it's
picked
huge,
it up.
Yeah, I mean, for
it's,
sure.
It is, I won't say, it's not glorifying, but it's justifying, it's vindicating comic collectibles
absolutely,
as investment
absolutely,
vehicles.
For sure. All right. For sure.
Chris, this news broke last week at the Wizard World Toronto show.
Okay.
And that is that Stan Lee is
yes.
coming to Toronto for the Fan Expo.
I heard about that. That's fantastic.
I know.
Stan Lee is coming back to Toronto finally.
How yeah. many years has it been?
James, 93.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's about 15 years. So
this is really the first experience for some younger comic readers to meet
yeah.
a legend.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Not a legend. I think maybe the legend.
The legend,
right?
Yeah.
The legend.
Well, you know,
Kirby's gone, and I think Schwartz is gone.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, like, yeah. you know, like in the Marvel side, Kirby's gone. John Buscema.
No, it's only Kirby and Lee.
But like,
really,
Kirby and Lee are the guys.
Yeah.
Julius Schwartz, who was basically the same guy as Stan Lee, but for DC, he kind of came up with a lot of ideas and things like that. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago as well.
Yeah.
I had the very fortunate opportunity to meet with Julius Schwartz a few
oh,
times,
nice.
and it was absolutely fantastic.
Where'd you meet him? What show?
At the Pittsburgh Comic Con.
Oh, nice.
And you know, he was a great guy, and I remember, you know, we would go up to him and ask him for his autograph, and he would tell us stories, and you know, we would say things like,
"Would he make you sit in front of him like in a circle?"
Kind of, yeah.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
You know, I got to tell you this one quick story here.
Okay, yeah.
And I remember
we got nothing but time.
I remember we said,
yeah.
You know, so whenever we asked him, so like when other writers would come up to him and say, like, you know, what would you think about this guy coming up to you with a story for a giant headed Flash? You know, what would you say to that? Would you laugh and be like, "What are you talking about? I came up with all those ideas." Ideas, you know, and then he would turn the pages and look at Gardner Fox. Look at this guy, I don't know, he can't write a story. I came up with all these ideas, so you know,
nice.
He's a really great old time kind of guy, and I really enjoyed seeing
oh,
him.
That's great.
And,
well, that is great, and like you said, though, he's gone,
So, really, Stan Lee, if you want to meet any of
the giants, the originals.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
But unlike, remember, you and I were both at that show, Chris, at the Novotel Hotel
years ago,
in Toronto.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you basically walked up to him and, "Hey, Stan."
Oh, yeah.
"Hey, looks so
strong." Yeah,
and
yeah,
shook
yeah,
your
yeah.
head and stuff. And,
yeah.
And you got a couple of books signed.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I got my Daredevil number 2 signed.
Yeah.
Because my number 1 was kind of beat up. And I told him, I said, "You know, my number 1's really beat." And he goes, "I don't sign beat books." So
okay.
It was really, really great meeting him.
You know, I've seen a couple of the Stan Lee file copies. He signs beat books. Anyway.
Nice. Anyways,
all right.
So Stan is going to be there in the August Fan Expo show.
Now, hobbystar.com, that's the link to all their shows, and the Fan Expo link is on hobbystar.com. So check it out and get all the info, and I'm sure there's more info. I believe sometime in May they're going to release their full list, but that all that info will be on their website. So
yes.
Check that out. Chris, this is good news. Walking Dead. We talked about it earlier.
We talk about Walking Dead a lot on this show, actually, believe it or
James
not.
James reads The Walking Dead.
I actually do. That's yeah. one of the ones that I sequester myself away and read front to back. Sequester.
Sequester.
You read Walking Dead, James?
I was pulling a faux hawk.
Okay.
I didn't know that you read Walking Dead.
You know, that's actually one of my probable favorites. I had no idea. Appreciation for the zombies in general.
Right, right.
And I think Marvel dropped the ball. I read the first one.
Yeah.
I didn't care
yeah.
for it.
Oh.
But the Walking Dead series has captivated me start to finish.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I wait for the trade paperback.
It's Robert Kirkman, and he does a great job of writing it, right?
Yep.
Like, he does a good job.
Now, AMC, American Movie Channel, I believe, a cable
American Movie Classics?
yeah, or whatever. It's the cable network, like HBO type of thing. They have commissioned six one-hour episodes of The Walking Dead for the cable channel.
Well, that is absolutely fantastic, you know. And it was only a matter of time, really.
Yeah, well, we talked about this earlier, how it should be done. We thought HBO should do this.
This series is really is... You could use the comic book as your storyboard to film this thing, right?
I was going to make a very similar point.
Yeah,
the comic books as they are are almost a perfect storyboard.
Absolutely. It is
now, who's the guy, the main guy in the book? Who's going to play that guy?
Jeez, I don't remember the name. Do you remember James at all? I'm at a loss.
When you both looked at me, I drew a complete blank.
Who's going to play him? He's the bearded guy. He's the bearded guy. Whatever. Who's going to play him? No. Wow. Jill Gerard.
I like that Jill Gerard kid.
I don't know who's going to play
that. Arnold. Arnold.
No, not Arnold. But yeah, there's a casting issue there too, right? Because when you're comic fans, everybody has an opinion.
Yeah.
Whoever they cast, there's going to be camps that really like who they picked, and there's going to be camps that really don't like who they picked.
You think that they would want to get somebody of a little bit lesser known? Like, you don't want to get like a Matt Damon, right?
Yeah, something like that. You're right.
But you might want to get somebody that you know, has been around a little bit, anyways.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess a little bit of mix of
you know, what would be kind of cool.
Who?
A bearded the guy that was in Van Wilder, Ryan Reynolds, the guy that's playing Green Lantern.
Oh, he's too much.
You think so?
Absolutely. I was thinking along the lines of. He's not a very big man. He's slight. He's not huge. So I would actually like to see someone like a Tobey Maguire. And before you start booing,
right?
This is a much darker, a deeper character for him.
What about the guy that played Frodo in Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
You know what? That's exactly where my mind went first.
All right.
One of those guys who's played sort of the cheery good guy,
or Sean Astin, who played Frodo's best friend,
or Steve Austin.
Maybe even Macaulay Culkin now. Put a beard on him. Get him in there.
Yeah,
take off the top hat.
I like the idea of getting Steve Austin. $1 million man.
$6 million. Sorry. My point was, I'd just like to see someone who isn't right for the role perform the role.
Right. Okay, I understand. All right. Fair enough. Then you can get Jamie Lee Curtis for that role.
We can rebuild him.
Okay.
We have the technology.
All right, that went nowhere. Oh. Chris, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt the laughter.
That's all right. Yes,
I mean, you're a fan. Dick Giordano passed away.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's hard to believe.
I know. He was a big guy at. Yep. I mean, he was editor at Charlton for a while,
and he was a big
editor
guy at DC,
stuff like that. So one of the, the builders, I guess. I guess you can call him a builder.
He was huge, especially in the 70s, right?
Like, yeah, and well, in the 80s, he oversaw the development of Vertigo and all that kind of stuff. So he ushered in the change too. He was part of the crew that initial awkward transition into the graphic novel format into the adult format.
Yeah.
He was there. He was at ground level.
Yeah,
so.
No, he was certainly a major player in the DC universe. That's what
Well, anyways, sad news on Dick Giordano's passing.
Too bad.
I know. Hey, speaking of old timers, though, Neil Adams is going to do a 12-part Batman project this summer, this year. It's called Odyssey, 12 issue. He's going to write and pencil.
Cool.
I
just hope that some of these guys, like Neil Adams, who've been around since, for forever, I hope they haven't lost anything. I hope that the hype isn't going to be bigger than what they produce. You know, and I think sometimes when these guys, they produce something that... it's going to be, everybody expects it to be great, and they kind of say it's great, but it's not really great, but because it's of that particular caliber,
Rick,
they say, oh, it's going to be fantastic. Like, for example, when Alan Moore does something like Lost Girls, I wasn't all that keen on it.
Right.
But, at the same time, everybody was saying, oh, it's Alan Moore, so it's got to be great.
Right.
So I hope that the same feeling doesn't come from Neil Adams coming back to do Batman. I hope they're not going to say, well, it's great just because it's Neil Adams.
Well, I think they're starting with leaning on the name, right? But like you said, De Niro doesn't always make a great movie.
Right.
I don't know a new band, Chris, like Pearl Jam or whatever doesn't always make a great album. Is Pearl Jam new?
Sure, new enough.
Yeah.
New enough.
Or the Stones always never made a great album.
No, but
whatever.
Right. You're right.
I mean, so they're leaning on the name to sell it, but I think once it starts going, the people are pretty they're pretty cruel.
They really are, yeah. Especially comic book readers are very fickle.
Yes,
they want to have this, and I've never really quite understood this, but they want to have the same characters go through the same steps, but in a different, told in a different way that somehow is new and refreshing.
Yeah,
but you can't change anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you can, like, Superman has to be Superman for the last 60 years, but somehow you have to change it so that you know it's interesting enough.
Exactly. So once you start, you know, making Superman not Superman, or making him without powers or something, you know, he went through, he used the wrong shampoo, and now he's got no superpowers. and it's stupid. That's no good. That's not Superman.
Right? Dude, Head and Shoulders Kryptonite formula.
Kryptonite formula. Nice green bottle. You're right, though. Anyway, so, Chris, I have more industry news, believe it or not. As we all know, the iPad, that was called.
Yes, I read about this today, actually.
Yeah, the iPad went on sale this weekend, passed.
Yeah.
And the Marvel app.
Yes.
Chris, stop playing with your marbles.
Sorry.
The Marvel app was number 14 on the
free
app downloads in terms of volume. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Now, I read up a little bit about it, and they're going to older books, I guess. Still, they're not. I think it's a. I mean, listen, it's a new thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think that even the companies know. Are sure of what they can put on these apps. I mean, there's a huge, massive infrastructure of stores.
I have a feeling there's going to be some growing pains going through the iPad technology. Mm-hmm. And I think once they go through like sort of the initial phase of it, then I can't imagine how it's going to affect the new comic book reading and how people will be downloading new comics and things like that, if they even will. But
James is reading new comics, like. Do you like the paper? Like, I'm just asking you your opinion on the iPad. Would you read comics through an iPad system, or would you prefer buying them? You know, buying your weeklies at a store.
Right. I don't think of my comics as a money making thing or as an investment.
Yeah.
So honestly, I'm not tied to paper.
Right.
But okay.
I would love to see the content on something downloadable.
But I completely agree with you. However, the only thing that I would add to that is that I like having them on my bookshelf. I like being able to go and refer to something. Not that you couldn't do that to your iPad and just sort of go immediately to need something, but I just find having the bookshelf, it's very fun to kind of go and
check things out. Yeah, I think, Chris, maybe 20 years ago, people had that same argument about their Encyclopedia Britannicas. They liked them
fair
on
enough.
The bookshelf.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you're absolutely
just
right.
Just over time, though, that bookshelf became obsolete, right?
So, now Walt, I have to ask you, sort of as a store owner here, how do you feel about the possibility of downloadable comic books?
You know what? They have been available for a while.
Okay.
And through a minor degree, but I think the iPad is bringing it a much more. I think it is generational. I think it is a personal thing.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people still tied to the media of paper.
I think
though over time it will erode the new weekly subscribers. I honestly do, in the sense of the kids, right?
Because it depends on who they are, though. If you're a collector at heart, you're going to want a physical copy of something that you can put somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. You can't collect a digital copy.
And most comic readers are collectors.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. You know, I've always found this very fascinating about comic book collectors is that, for the most part, I would say, like, a good 75, 80, maybe even 85% of the collectors out there who are comic collectors are completists more than perfectionists, right?
Like
they want to make sure they have all of one thing,
right?
Rather than making sure they have
the best copy of something. Yeah, you're right. So I mean, it's new. It's not new, but it's we live in a time where change is and all the comic shops across North America have to look at themselves and say, hey, you know, what other things are we offering other than readable product? You know, what kind of services?
With the exception of Big B, it's not a whole lot.
Well, you know, there are great shops out there. But you know, I think everybody has to look in the mirror and adapt and develop, right? And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say, at the end of the day, it will lead to better.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely,
if it doesn't lead to better, you won't be there.
Well, hopefully it will, and hopefully comics will be better for it.
Yeah, you know, in the end of the day, right. And, but from what I hear, though, just to interject, the artists, it's almost like, I mean, it's not almost like, it's like music, right? The old structure of having to go through the major publisher whatever, that could be eroded with technology
And you know what's scary is, I mean, there are a lot of artists out there for comic books that only work in the digital medium now.
Yes.
Right? So there aren't any physical originals. Like Alex Maleev, who did a lot of work on Daredevil.
Yes.
He strictly works only on the computer. So
yes.
You can't buy an Alex Maleev original because it doesn't exist.
You're right.
Right?
Yeah, he does those motion comics now.
Yeah. So I mean, in that sense, I'm wondering what's going to happen to the artists in general as far as working digitally as opposed to traditionally, I'll call it. And will the traditional comics and the traditional art be around years from now, or is it all going to be just a file copy on a megabyte, right?
Right, right. No, you're absolutely right. All right, we're going to move it along to, Chris, Case Dismissed.
Oh!
Against
Stan Lee.
A lawsuit against Stan Lee and Marvel Entertainment.
By Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, right.
Oh, sorry.
Shareholders of Stan Lee Media.
Yeah.
Alleged that Lee had improperly transferred some of the rights to his Marvel stuff to Marvel.
Okay.
And so they wanted, I guess, portions of that copyrights and stuff.
Right.
They have dismissed the lawsuit. And, you know, personally, I think they just got sick and tired of listening to him.
Excelsior!
Listen, when I was 17,
this is Stan Lee. Well, you know, young Peter Parker would often like to go to Mary Jane's house.
So I think they had to listen to that daily. And they all
a wonderful amount of money crossed hands behind closed doors.
That's a good point, too, you know, via Marvel or something like that. You know, you always have to bring it down to a realistic level, don't you, though, James?
Right? I really do.
James is good with that.
When you two are going off on tangents and being Stan Lee and talking to each other and forget that anyone else or a tape recorder is even in the room, I need to come back in and ground you out.
Keeping it real, huh?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. Thanks a lot, James.
Thanks, James.
We're never going to invite you back to the studio again.
Again.
Yeah.
You know what? Hey, this is good news, though. Or potential good news. Megan Fox?
Megan Fox from
Megan Fox.
Transformers, yes.
Yeah, apparently, they've asked her to play the role of Red Sonja.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Like hold on. Whoa.
Back it up.
Boop. Back it up a bit here. Red Sonja.
That's like so 15 years old, isn't it?
Straight out of Seinfeld.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Red Sonja as in like Conan Red Sonja?
Conan Red Sonja.
She's not... Okay, she's beautiful, but she's not Red Sonja.
She's no Brigitte Nielsen.
Yeah, no, she's no Brigitte Nielsen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I respectfully disagree.
Oh, come on. Do you even know the character Red Sonja?
Of course he does. Listen, Rose McGowan,
yes.
who played Red Sonja, I believe, in the last movie. They had some sort of product, Red Sonja product out before, and Rose McGowan was the Red Sonja.
Right.
She now is cast in the Conan film.
Oh, very cool.
So she's now apparently out of the picture of Red Sonja, the movie.
Oh, okay.
And the new Red Sonja.
Yeah.
Apparently, the company that's doing Red Sonja has asked Megan Fox if she would play the title role.
Wow. You know, I'm nothing against Megan Fox. I think she's beautiful, but I really don't know if her acting ability is all that great.
You know what?
But you know what? It doesn't really matter.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Yeah. What matters is, does Arnold get a cameo?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what I would love?
Me God.
I don't think he would pronounce her name wrong.
No. Me God.
Me God. I am Conan.
I'm Conan.
Yeah, anyway. So
bow to King Conan.
I am the governor. Anyway, that is the end of industry news. And Chris, I don't know how it happened.
It's you know what? End of industry news, end of the show, unfortunately.
What happened to our topic?
Well, you know what? We're going to have to come by next week. And come back, whatever you want to say. Anyways, the reality of it is the show is coming to an end.
Maybe we should push for more shows a week.
We will have to maybe push for a longer show. We do appreciate you listening. Please, if you have any comments or questions, please email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox at bigbycomics.com. Go out and enjoy your day and support your local comic book retailer.
I was worried that he wasn't going to be able to get out without that. Have a great week, everybody. See everybody next week.
Goodbye.
Thanks for having me.